Going to be a little bit different sermon because I'm not going to go through the last chapter today, because as I was going through and preparing for it, it just wasn't in my mind to do so. But the posting I placed Thursday on the internet was more on my mind, and I'm not real keen on giving a sermon, not having put more time into preparing for it. So about 15 minutes, my wife was on the phone in the other room, and it was about 15 minutes before it was time for me to get ready to come down here today. Decided I was going to give a different sermon. I couldn't give it on the book, but I needed to give this one here. And that God's going to have to give to me what I need through this process here. And I know He will. So there, I feel that you definitely need all this information up front here. Because as each day has gone by, I've become more deeply convicted of some things concerning the church and where we're going and where we are on time. And I know this is probably going to be, if you haven't read the posting, a little unsettling for some. But if you're in this for the right reasons, you'll get through it. Just be patient and continue on as you've always continued on. You hold fast to what truth God has given to you, and things will become clearer, and you become more excited about what is true. And so there's much to learn in this process here, and because of some of the messages I've received, there have been a lot of encouraging ones from different people out there. I knew there would be. Some that aren't as encouraging of some who aren't with us, and that's obvious as well. I'll mention some of that as we go along as well, as we do this sermon here. But anyway, I haven't even given this a title. I guess I'll assign one later on. That's how quickly this has changed. But I thought the best place to begin today would begin by reading and making some comments as I go through this. Making some comments about the posting that I made, because a lot of you don't have internet. The people who are listening today, some of you don't have internet, especially those of you connected by telephone. You obviously don't have internet, so this is going to be new to you. And I had asked the evangelists in the church and their wives to join with my wife and I this past Thursday in a fast because of the importance of what we're going through. Just to let you know and understand that on that particular day, things even came together far, far more powerfully. And God gives strength and power in different situations we go through. And I thank them for what they had done, because it was very obvious what God gave by Thursday. But last Sabbath, to make a long story short, as I was going through some scriptures, as I was reading the book and giving the sermon in that fifth chapter there of the first book, some scriptures hit me in a profound way. And here I am giving a sermon on one subject, and another one is coming into my mind that God is enlightening me, giving me some understanding of some things that I knew I was to go back and look at and study. And as I went through the week, a sermon for the Feast of Trumpets came together that will be unique to everyone, and it will contain what I've referred to as here in this posting, the 50th truth for God's church at this particular end time. And as I believe I told Wayne Matthews as well, I might have told Johnny too, but I know I told one of them, that this is number 50. I hope it's the Jubilee truth that sets us free. Finally, that we have arrived and everything can proceed forward. But, it will proceed forward, as you'll see as we go through all this. But anyway, it's very easy for people to panic. It's very easy for us to panic about different things when they don't happen exactly the way we think or believe or see at a particular time. So I think the best way to go through this is to read to you what I wrote on Thursday and posted on the site ronaldwineland.com. Some have asked why there have not been any recent postings on this site. The answer is, I've had nothing pertinent to report. What am I supposed to say? You know, the site was set up basically as a whole to inform people when things get bad, as they get bad at different times, when there's something pertinent that people need to know, need to understand. And so that's really what I've been doing through time here. Things that are pertinent to some changes or special moments in time of things we're addressing, I've addressed those on the site. It's set up that way, uniquely so, and especially as things happen in the future, that I'd be able to use that particular site for keeping people informed. So that's why it was set up. Anyway, I went on to say, I have been doing what others are doing, waiting. And so we've all been waiting. Waiting is not a lot of fun sometimes, especially in the context of radio interviews and sermons that have already been given. Going on. As I've stated before, I'm waiting until July 16th to see whether the second trumpet has been blown by that time, which falls within the 90 days I have referenced. Well, with the way things happen sometimes, when God gives understanding of a particular matter, again, this started on Sabbath, and each day has been a learning and a growing process here through this past week. And I'll mention this as I continue through it, but this is all changing very rapidly. I don't in any fashion or form, just to say it here, even though I've said it in the letter, in any fashion or form believe anything is going to happen in any regard concerning any trumpet between now and July 16th. That's why I'm going to go ahead and give this sermon here, now. Because I already know. I've been down this road too many times, and so have you. I have thought about, and apprehensively so in some cases, because I know of what the church has gone through as well, and sacrifices that are made. But it's all for a purpose. It's all for a reason. And when you understand what God is doing, it becomes more exciting. And that's something we need to understand. If we're convicted that God is leading and guiding and directing us and giving us the truth as we go along, this becomes more exciting. We'll understand a perfect timing and how God works with us as human beings. Because we are human beings and we respond to how God leads us and to what He gives to us. And that is exciting. It's always exciting. So as the week has gone on, I've become more excited each day. Some of you will be in that initial probably shock stage as I go through some of this today. Some of you have had a day and a half to think about some of it since it was posted. But again, it will become more and more exciting to you. And as God's Spirit works within you, this is also a good thing to mention at this point in time. This should be a bit of a shaking for some of you, okay? Because some of you were excited from the moment you read it. Others of you panicked. Please understand, if you panicked, there are spiritual reasons why that happened. And I'm just going to be real candid with you. That is not a good state. There's a little correction in some of this today because God is using this period of time to help us to better understand some things about ourselves. You can never get into a situation that we're in concerning Laodicea that you begin to become lukewarm, that you begin to let down and just let time pass you by. This is not a time of just waiting and letting time pass you by. This is a time to be on guard, to be alert spiritually, and to be very focused on what God has given to us. So as we go through some of this today, there's going to be a little correction that goes along with some of this as well, because we need to take a look at ourselves. You know, if when God's Spirit is in our minds and in our being, there are going to be things, and there's a process we go through as well. And I believe after you hear the sermon today and as we go forward, you will become more and more excited. But in some cases, you're going to have to work harder at it because you need to be stirred up more spiritually. That's between you and God and your relationship with Him. And I can't give that to any of you. And so it's a warning as well never to let down, never to coast in this way of life. Always to have that kind of attitude in mind. That we were even talking about this beforehand, about Mr. Armstrong and about one particular group out here. There was a particular individual that made a comment in another organization about how they were tired, especially of hearing that things are by one evangelist out here that was telling them there's 25 to 30 years up the road before these things can begin to come to pass. And that's just like rocking someone in a cradle to put people to sleep. Mr. Armstrong was never like that. He told us to plan 5 and 10 years in advance, depending on where we were and certain things that were happening around us. At times he talked about 10 years, at other times 5 years. Most of the times it was 10 years. But he always had a sense of urgency, always, in what he did. And the moment you lose that in God's church, there's something wrong spiritually. I hope we understand that. It doesn't matter what age people in the church lived. They had to have a sense of urgency. That you have to be on guard. That's the very condemnation in Matthew 25 to the 10 virgins. The very condemnation. And there used to be, we would focus in on, oh, there were those 5 wise, and I'm one of those 5 wise. I want to be one of those 5 wise, not the 5 foolish virgins. You know, there's a little bit of pride in some of that. Until some of us begin to understand, until God began to show after the apostasy, that the 5 wise weren't too well off either. Because they had the same sin as the 5 foolish. Not in some of their practice and things they did. You know, there were things they were doing right, and there were things that they were applying in their life more so, but they weren't doing the most important thing. And that is the sense of urgency. Watching. Being on guard. Being spiritually alert all the time. You can never let down, brethren. You can never let down. And when that's the case, God will give you the strength, the insight, the ability to see and receive things quickly when they happen, as they happen. And we live in those kinds of times. So anyway, going on. As I've stated before, I am waiting until July 16th to see whether the second trumpet has been blown by that time. I already know it's not going to happen, I'll just tell you. Okay? A month from now, well, what is today? Today is now the 21st, but last week, when we were still a month out, and God was showing some of these things, I was already coming to the conviction it's not going to happen, period. Anyway, I'm waiting until July 16th to see whether the second trumpet has been blown by that time, which falls within the 90 days I have referenced. In addition, God has been showing me things concerning the first trumpet that will be carried out throughout the time of the first four trumpets. And so we've been talking about that. And there are things there that I knew that we weren't to address yet. Now I understand it far more deeply why they weren't to be addressed yet. And we'll come back to that at another time. However, going on here, I have also known that I was not yet to be speaking about those things, and I am only now beginning to see why. It is because this is for a later time. Since the timing of what I had stated as being the moment when the first trumpet was blown, April 17th, we have seen no clear evidence on a physical plane of the fulfillment of that trumpet. And yet God has shown us some of the meanings of, well, I guess shown me, and shown a few of you, because some of you have asked about it, then you do understand some other things connected to it that will come out at a later time, as I just said in the previous paragraph here, concerning that first trumpet. But going on here. Again, we have seen no clear evidence on a physical plane of the fulfillment of that trumpet, although it has been stated that such things will be revealed throughout the timing of the entire first four trumpets. You know, God has given us so much truth, truly has, above and beyond in all these things as we have addressed them. I think of February the 2nd and on down the line, things that God has given to us in understanding. None of that's changed in any fashion or form, brother, as far as understanding the things that God has given to us to understand about various things that have happened, various things that happen concerning a sealing of God's people and what will transpire, what takes place in their lives, and on it goes. Going on. Kind of chuckling to myself a little bit here because I realize that we can plug those sermons in another date and they're going to have more power and more meaning to you. Going on. Yet it should be stated again that nothing has been seen as evidence on a physical plane concerning this first trumpet, and there cannot be until later in December. So what has happened since April 17th? We do clearly see an intensity in the thunders, but only in the thunders. And I hope all of you understand that. And there has been an increase in the intensity. And I'm thankful that God began to give more at that particular time and through that period of time. One after another, wham, 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 and the things that continue on. I think of somebody had sent out some things that have been written concerning the flooding that's taking place and some of the things that people are going through in that part of the country. And one individual was asking a question, are we being punished? Is God punishing us in this nation? Because they brought up the things that are happening with greater frequency and greater and strong intensity, but greater frequency. And so people see these things. And they don't have answers. And so they just kept repeating that question at different times in different ways throughout that particular article. But anyway, going on here. Again, so what has happened since April 17th? We do clearly see an intensity in the thunders, but only in the thunders. Earthquakes are increasing in magnitude and frequency on a global scale. And they are. Some incredible things that have taken place. A little bit of a lull right now this past week. Not a whole lot in some areas, but a little bit of a lull. The destructiveness from weather is growing far more intense with record numbers of tornadoes. Drought conditions are worsening some areas of the country, yet others are being flooded. I think of even Australia. You know, sometimes because we don't live there, things don't affect you, you don't think about it. Going through horrible drought in some regions right now. And all these things affecting food. Food on a worldwide scale. You know, by the time certain things happen, we're already going to be in bad shape. We're going to be in really bad shape. because we're not being prepared. We're not prepared for the things that are coming. This world, this country, other countries in the world aren't going to be prepared. And it's going to hit with incredible strength and power then when these things do begin to take place. Drought conditions are worsening in some areas of the country, yet others are being flooded. Again, the repetitive nature and frequency of these events is what is important to see. Such events have always been part of the human experience. They've always been around. But the escalation in frequency and heightened magnitude of these events occurring so often is what this thunder is all about. As far as global economic upheaval, every day there are more reports of serious economic problems in banking, brokerages, large corporations, commodities, transportation, and so forth and so forth. We are now getting very close to a total economic collapse. You know, the world doesn't see it. And people keep trying to talk themselves out of it. And yet now we're down below 12,000, you know, on the Dow again. Hadn't happened since March. This is not over by a long shot. Going on. Such bad news is becoming so common now that people don't even seem to take notice, but view it as simply a little glitch that will someday go away and no longer affect us. You know, unless you happen to be in some of those areas, sometimes when it's more than a little glitch going on. People are truly becoming complacent about bad news and the true realities of life that are before us all. Even our news is changing. You go and you watch certain news, now it's about personalities or about sensationalizing certain things in the news. They have more to do, again, with personalities as a whole. It's not about news and things that affect us day by day. Oh, we'll cry about the gas prices are going up, boo-hoo, because we go to the pump, and now, you know, I'm filling up vehicle now, and I feel like I'm in Europe, you know, last year or the year before. You know, you fill up over there, and they've always had these high prices, even though theirs are going up as well, above and beyond. Anyway, although there is a marked increase in the thunders, there is still no physical evidence in the trumpets. And that's bothered me. And that's bothered you, to be candid about it. And if it hasn't, well, anyway, you're a rare creature, rare individual. Going on. And even though I have stated July 16th as a kind of deadline for the second trumpet, I am now deeply convinced that nothing concerning the trumpets will have occurred by that time. Just a reality, especially because of what God started to give last Sabbath while I was giving a sermon. Going on, this is not pleasant to have to address, as all of us have planned our lives on such things. So there are things that we have to address, things we have to face, things we have to ask. And as we do, asking always, always, always leads us to deeper understanding in God's church. See? I remember asking questions at the very beginning after December 17th, 1994. How could this happen in God's church? If this is God's church, what does this mean? This is God's church. We have the truth. God gave us truth. So what does this mean to God's church? How could anything like this happen if God is the God of this church? And by asking questions in time, God led us to answers. We kept asking. You keep asking because the reality is there are realities around you you have to face and you have to answer, and yet we find or found as time went along as a whole, people that were scattered really didn't want to ask too deep a question about certain things because then you have to face certain realities. One of them is we're not only Ethan Laodicea, we're all Laodicea. And we had to be spewed out of God's mouth. If God's word is true, Laodicea was spewed out of God's mouth. Each one of those answers or questions leads you farther down the road as God's Spirit works with you to more questions, which leads to more answers with God's Spirit. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because every one of them, everything has to fit together. The stones of the temple, the scattering, everything we've gone through. Going on. So again, this is not pleasant to have to address, as all of us have planned our lives on such things. If the second trumpet sounds with nuclear explosions in port cities, then everything will indeed be fully in line with what I've stated in the last interviews and in some sermons. But I do want to state again, I no longer believe that to be the case. Okay? Now, that's kind of tough, especially when you've said certain things in interviews and given things in sermons. But you'll understand as we go forward. The bottom line is, because you see, as I've gone through this process, I didn't believe for one instance that things wouldn't transpire as exactly as I believed we were being led to see everything that we've talked about. And fully ready that if we came to a certain time, that I'd make certain statements, that I would do certain things, and I made it very clear. I would state, I'm a false prophet. I'm no longer a minister. I'll give a deadline. Okay, I'll give the deadline. You want a deadline? I'll give you a deadline. Okay, I said 90 days. Okay, I'll stick to the 90 days. Because I've learned through this process too. I got pulled in some of these things and some of the interviews, and I did some things and said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. But that's for my own learning, because I'm still being prepared for a job that I haven't yet started. Anyway, I'll get to that as we go along. And so again, as I went through that process, all I can tell you is that I knew I was a prophet. How can I answer that any differently? I know that I'm God's minister. I know that God has given us, I brought these up here with me again today, 49 truths. And I've always continually told us to go back to those. Because if you're not here because of what you believe to be true, if you came for the wrong reasons, to save yourself, to save your skin, to save your family, you came for the wrong reasons. Your convictions come from the truth, from the Word of God. And because of those things, I know who I am, because I know what God has given to me. So what are the answers? It's kind of like some of the things we've gone through in the past. How could this happen to God's church? How could a third just quit? How could a third accept and go back to the very thing God brought them out of? How could this happen in God's church? The problem wasn't with God. We learned the problem is with us. So we learn through the process. We learn things about God. We learn about how God works with us. And we grow a little bit at a time. But anyway, going back to the what I was reading there. So I'm trying to throw some things in as they took place. And obviously there are going to be people out there who have a heyday. They're already having a heyday. I just want to give them more hay. Because they're going to choke on it. It's all a part of prophecy. It's a part of what must take place. Okay? And there are things about judgment I'm learning that God is showing because of going through this. There are people out here that are no different from the demonic world, which was the angelic world at one time. All the millions upon millions, perhaps billions of angelic beings that God created to be with Him, to serve with Him, to be around Him, to share with them through time, because it's going to be a long time before certain things would be done, a long time before certain things would be made, even as far as the universe out here is concerned, and God bringing it to being and bringing it to pass. And when He created certain things, the angelic beings shouted for joy because of what God had brought to pass and brought into being. And then somewhere along the line, this one being began to lift himself up. And he began to talk or communicate to others around him. Just a little bit. It's just a little bit on the side here. You know, a little bit of disgruntlement about something. Not real strong yet. Just a little bit. And slowly but surely, different ones began to be swayed with the same rotten attitude and spirit, until it finally came to its full head and they rebelled. Incredible. A third rebelled, and God cast him to this earth. Satan was once Lucifer, a great archangel, powerful, made beautiful, God said, with great talents and beauty in him. and he rebelled against his Creator and took a third of the angelic realm with him. It's an astounding thing to learn, to understand. But you see, there are people in this world who, no matter what, do not want God, even when they have the opportunity. If no matter what God did with them, there are situations that God can bring a person to their knees, indeed bring them down to where, as all of us have to be humbled in life, to begin to have some ears that will listen to what God even has to say. But there are people who may conform because they don't want to be in that position, but they won't choose God. So even there, being brought low does not mean a person responds and chooses God, because that they see something now and choose the beauty of what God has given them the ability to see. There are a lot of mockers out here who will never be anything but mockers, that have demonic minds. Not that they have even influenced in some cases, obviously, by that world. It's just them. It's their choice and their mind. I've heard of comments of individuals say, "I don't care if everything he says is true. I'll never do it, or I'll never follow it. If this is from God, I'm not going to choose it. I don't want it. I'll never live it." Isn't that amazing? Even if it's true. Shows an attitude and a spirit that's out there in this world. But anyway, going on. And this is a time for many of those to be made more manifest. And it is a time also for you and me to go through various things. You know, I'm pretty accustomed to people writing things and saying things and getting pretty nasty. And I have learned that it isn't good to go back and look at any of those as a whole for me. You know, because then I have to fight my human nature. Then you come to a point where you realize they are what they are. I wish they weren't that way. I wish they could see. I wish they could enjoy what God has to offer them. But there are those who will never choose it, never want it. And you feel for them. But sometimes what people say can affect you. Many people are moved by what people say. I think of, which ties into this very closely today, you know, there are things we learn by making choices. Are we more concerned about serving God, pleasing God, walking right before God, than we are about what other people say about us? I don't care whether it be our family, our mates, our children, our parents. Because you see, those are powerful influences in life. But sometimes we become more concerned about what they think of us. Say, I don't care how much crow I have to eat. I don't care what I'm made to look like so that others can feel better and lifted up by it. Does that change anything? You know, but sometimes that affects people, and it affects some of you. Peter told Christ, "I will never deny you." And he said, before this day is up, or before the morning even, you will deny me three times. And why did he deny his master? Why? Because he was more concerned with what others thought about him and how they viewed him and what they... Aren't you that one? Aren't you? I've seen you before. Oh, no, no, I don't know him. Now, sometimes we can read through a story like that and not get it. And sometimes you don't get it until you live it. And then you begin to learn and understand what Christ was saying. Is God indeed first? Now, he didn't have the strength at that point in time. But just because you have God's Spirit doesn't mean you still don't have those same battles in this human life. Because he hadn't received the pouring out of God's Spirit yet on Pentecost. But we have learned in God's church, even with God's Spirit, you can deny Christ. You can deny your Father in heaven. Look at the thousands and tens of thousands of people who did just that. After December 17th, 1994, very quickly, a third who wanted to go right back to the Protestant world they came out of. Mind-boggling. But it happened. it happened. So even with God's Spirit, depending on how we use it, depending on what takes place in our life, well, lesson after lesson after lesson, brethren, that we never want to forget. And please understand, too, there are things about one of the most basic things in life we must always grasp and comprehend. God is first, which means government, and that there's an order to that government and how God works and how we respond to it. And we can deceive ourselves into thinking that, well, I wouldn't do this toward God, but I will toward you. People did that toward Mr. Armstrong on a regular basis, or toward a minister in a local area, or whatever it might have been. Battles that people had because of things that they had to choose and decide what they were going to do or not do. Amazing. Anyway. Again, this is not pleasant to have to address, as all of us have planned our lives on such things. If the second trumpet sounds with nuclear explosions in port cities, then everything will indeed be fully in line with what I've stated in the last interviews and in some sermons. But I want to state it again, I no longer believe that to be the case. The bottom line is, I must follow what I believe God is showing me. Okay? That doesn't change. I don't care what happens. I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, it's really immaterial. And every one of us has to decide that. I remember from the very beginning, some of you who were there, some of you had to come through the same things, starting in 1995 and on through the months that followed. I think most of us, or a lot of us, came to the point where we realized that I have to decide what I'm going to do regardless of what any other... I don't care if I'm the only person doing it. I've got to do what I believe God is leading me to do. And those are the kinds of choices you have to make before God. It doesn't matter what anybody else does or thinks. It doesn't matter what your mate does or thinks. It doesn't matter what your parent thinks or does, or your children, or your best friend, or whomever. Because the reality is the vast majority of the church... they were swayed by exactly those things. And you have to be of a conviction of mind, what am I going to do? Because it's between what I believe, my conscience toward my God, and I'll act upon that. And those are the choices people have to make. And it's always been that way, or should always have been that way, and it must be that way. You know, God must be first in our mind and our being, brethren. And the more God is there, the better things are in perspective with everyone else around us. You can have great desire for others, but you can't give it to them. You have to decide what you're going to do, regardless of what anyone else does. The bottom line is, I must follow what I believe God is showing me. If I have jumped the gun in a couple of interviews and interjected my own understanding into the timing of events, which I've done, and have thereby been presumptuous, then I'll repent and move forward. But even then, as I go through this, and as I've gone through this week, how do I state this? I'll make it clear, I think, as we go along in the sermon today, but I got pulled in a couple of instances and stated some things because of a response, because of a battle I was having in my own mind attitude towards some individuals as I was dealing with them in interviews. And so unwise, yes, something to repent of. As I go forward, I'll tell you, I don't believe so in any fashion or form. Okay? You'll understand that as you go along here. You have to respond to God by what God gives to you. Okay? Mr. Armstrong responded to God by what he believed God gave to him and kept Pentecost on Monday for a long, long time. And so did the church. And you want to know something that a lot of people have never grasped nor comprehended? You were judged by whether you did that or not. If, as some came to a point in time of beginning to see that they believed it was on Sunday, not Monday, I know some people, I know of one especially, an evangelist, that in his mind could keep two different dates in a matter. He was wrong. And he's done more damage and more harm to God's church than people can even begin to know and understand. Now, it's not about that today. But anyway, the point being is you were judged by whether or not you did what God gave to the church. And so it has been with so many things. You think, well, how is that possible? It's not the right day. You would have been presumptuous because of how God works and reveals things through the church. You would have been judged. Not that anyone, well, there were some individuals that began to see certain things, but thankfully we had a whole year there before the next Pentecost. And by the time Mr. Armstrong did make a decision about Pentecost, it was by the time of that next Pentecost. But if an individual a year before that or even before that had said, I see it's on Sunday, and this is why, blah, 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 and started doing it, started teaching in the church, would have been wrong before God. And sometimes things like that are hard for people to see. Well, why would that be wrong? If we don't understand, we don't understand how God's Spirit works, which is a matter of understanding how God's government works, because it's a matter of what God gives. It's like an individual I'd mentioned who began to say something about the man of sin before God revealed it in his time, in his way, to the church. Now, he changed later on because the guy died, and so he said, oh, it must be his son. So he never really grasped and understood it, but he began to announce what was true ahead of time. I hope you all understand what I'm talking about. If you've read the books, you can go back and read them again, and you'll see and understand. But anyway, I have stated all of this because during last Sabbath sermon, some scriptures I was reading became magnified in meaning, revealed by God. I have been through this so many times. I know when it's happening, I know what's happening, and it was a bit of a shock, and I still went through the sermon, gave the rest of the sermon, had to go back and start looking at some things, and I've been dumbfounded. The simplicity, the clarity. When God reveals something, it's like what you were given in 2005 at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, when God brings us to a certain point and gives it to us, it's awesome. It truly is. It's inspiring. It's exciting. And you know what? It makes everything else fit into place and have meaning. Anyway. Again, because during last Sabbath sermon, some scriptures I was reading became magnified in meaning, revealed by God. But what was given to me was not pertinent to that sermon. Each day since this past Sabbath, God has been giving me more understanding concerning the timing of events that I now believe I am to address in the church. But I cannot do so until after July 16th. There's some of this I cannot give till trumpets, September the 30th. So, this isn't rocket science. I'm giving you enough today that you will know certain things that are going to be given on September the 30th on trumpets. But I'm asking you, as I've asked in times past when I talked about the Feast of Tabernacles as we were coming up to it in 2005, keep it to yourself. Because you're not going to understand the reasons why. You've gone through this yourselves enough. Some of you are brand new. You're going to learn from this experience of what you're going through. You remember the occasion, as we even talked about Zechariah 14, and some begin to jump the gun a little ahead of time and start to talk to each other and say some things, and it's like, oh, Zechariah 14, I never saw that before. God the Father's coming down. And that's not what Zechariah 14 was about at all. And we learned that there are titles that God the Father has, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's in the Old Testament. We went through those sermons. Or those scriptures, various other things that are given to Jesus Christ, His Son, in another context that God has given to His Son. And so we learn and we grow an understanding of things that God has written in Scripture, and it becomes clearer, and the purpose and plan becomes more exciting and becomes clearer to us. Well, the same thing is true here. Just like Melchizedek, as we were going through the feast, I knew that there were things about Melchizedek that I could see, that I understood, but God didn't give it all to me until and during the feast of 2005. I knew I was to wait. I knew that God would give it to me fully. And so that sermon there was not prepared before the feast as the others were. and it came together fully during the Feast of Tabernacles in 2005, and I knew it would because I'd been down this road too many times. And so again, I'm asking you for your own spiritual well-being, for the blessings as to what degree God will bless you and give you ability to see and grasp and understand, because these are things that are for a purpose for our own spiritual growth, that you wait. And a little bit, as we go from now until September the 30th, certain things in some cases will become clearer to you, some things will begin falling into place, but wait, because it will all come together on that day. It's God's intent. I already know it clearly. It's God's intent of what will be given at that particular time. It's inspiring. It's exciting. It's packed with incredible meaning of things that are going to dumbfound you. Dumbfounded me. This one here was probably more dumbfounding than anything I've gone through. And I think a lot of it's because of me and because of my understanding of certain things and times past, or we'll put it now, lack of understanding. People have been around for a long time. People in the church have been around a long time, just like the thing we went through in 2005. That wasn't a small thing that God gave to the church. We were talking about it before services here. It wasn't a big thing to young people. They didn't even know as a whole that the church taught that Jesus Christ was Yahweh of the Old Testament. At one time, that's what we believed. Now, if you believe that all the way, there are scriptures that collide with each other. But we never had answers to certain things. And so for young people, it wasn't a big deal. When they heard the truth, it was clear to them. But some of us struggle. I remember one individual coming up to me on the seventh day of the feast and basically letting me know that he loved my wife and myself, but that he wasn't seeing it. And it wasn't coming together for him. Then when he heard Melchizedek, he cried. A man that kind of would break your, strike your heart if you knew who it was, because he's not the type that would cry. Tears come to his eyes and be seen by somebody else with those. Strong, in other words, in appearance. And how sometimes we men think we have to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. No tears are going to come out of my eyes. Anyway. Anyway, he saw it. Only until that sermon, then God brought it all together for him. Exciting, inspiring. How God works with us and opens up things in our understanding, in our mind. And this is one that as we go forward, I'll just say, if I hadn't gone through what I've gone through in the last few months, I couldn't give this sermon that I'm going to give on September the 30th. I couldn't have done it. And God knows that about me. And he knows that about different things of our past and things in our minds and our being. So there's a process we're taken through sometimes to work with us, because there's a certain way that God's working. The reality is, he's working with me as a minister, as a prophet, as a witness. Well, the witness will come. But anyway, we'll get to that as we go along. Again, I have stated all this because during last Saturday's sermon, some scriptures I was reading became magnified in meaning, revealed by God, by what was given to me. But what was given to me was not pertinent to that sermon. Every day since that past Sabbath, God has been giving me more understanding concerning the timing of the events that I now believe I am to address in the church, but I cannot do so until after July 16th. And now you understand, because it's not till the trumpets. All this will be explained in sermons after that date. And I really didn't think that I was to give this sermon yet. I really felt that was probably some things here today wouldn't be until later on, but God is granting it. Because of what you are going through as well, and what you need to see, and what you need to have up front here. Going on, there is a lot unsaid in this because there is too much to address in this posting, and these things must be addressed in their full context through sermons that will cover the subject. So this is one of them. And there'll be other things, a little bit here and a little bit there, until we get to September the 30th. The bottom line is that I know I am a prophet of God and God's minister under Jesus Christ, who is ahead of the church of God, the body of Christ. And so there are certain things you come to, the truth is the truth, and people have to decide, are they what they're doing. And as a whole, I understand the church, we're doing it because it's the truth. And just as we came to see things more fully in the Feast of 2005, it'll all be there for you, if not before. It'll all, you still won't receive it all because I know how God works and you should too, that it's going to be fully given on that particular day. And there are powerful reasons for that. God is not just dealing with us in the church. He's dealing with the world. He's dealing with a spirit world as well, one that has already been judged. As such, I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it. Some will take great delight in some of this because they do not see what God is doing and why. And please learn the lesson in some of this, all of you. In talking to different people, in saying things to different people, we need to understand very deeply, I don't care whether it's things prophetic, of timing of events in the world around you, or whatever it is. But unless God is drawing someone, how far do you get if you go and tell him about the Sabbath? And the need to obey God's Sabbath. How far do you get if you tell him about the holy days, the need to keep the holy days? Just about as far as you will if you tell him anything to do with prophecy. Zilch. We need to learn from this. See? We truly do. Because there have been a lot of mistakes out here that have been made. Okay. Going on, again. If what I have now been given to see over the last few days, and I am deeply convicted of this already, and since I wrote this, it's a slam dunk going on. Then there will be a very big issue addressed on trumpets of this year. Well, it's already there. It will be the 50th truth of major basic truths, and again, this is something we're going to post on the website, by the way, because we've had a lot of questions coming in at times about the 49 truths, because people see the sermons, but they wonder, they've asked the question many times, is there some place this is written? And so Wayne Matthews sent me a good write-up here of some things that I'm going through right now with that, and we've had one that's circulated at times, but there's more that Wayne has put in there as well, Wayne Matthews, down in Australia. And so anyway, we are going to post that on the site as well, because, it's there are things that are there will really help new people along in the process here of going through those, because everyone needs to go through it. So this one here is the 50th of those. We have 49. It will be the 50th truth of major basic truths God has given his church in this end time. So again, here we start counting three because, frankly, Sardis led us up into the end time and the three that were there. That's how we've counted them forward, the 18 with Mr. Armstrong and then since that time. Going on, some of you who read these postings have not been listening to the sermons on the church website. It would be wise for you to begin doing so if you want to understand these things and if you want to begin to truly grasp where we are in time. So there are some people that we want quick fixes or quick answers to certain things is because we're not really applying ourselves and don't recognize what we have in front of us yet. So sadly, there are people who don't really go to the sermons, haven't really started listening to the sermons. So a bit of an encouragement here. Hopefully they'll do that. Some may. Most will not. Going on, there's so much being revealed on a spiritual plane that cannot be covered in such postings as this, and you should not rob yourself of such insight and experience. That's why people who find fault or whatever, that's the only reason they listen to a sermon like this, but they don't get it. That makes them happy when they hear that. You don't get it. And they can't. You know, unless you're being drawn by God's Spirit, unless your attitude is right before God, God's not going to give any truth to someone. An ability to see and understand what the church has gone through in time here and going on here. Because of what God has been giving me over the past few days, I now know that I am to resume the trips Laura and I make to scattered areas, and such trips will be planned all the way up to mid-December. All of you need to begin adjusting your thinking as you plan ahead. You need to expand your planning by several months, which will be explained in future sermons. And I might add, neither would we have done what we did in December, in January, and February, and March, and April, and May, and into June here concerning the website advertising we've done. We wouldn't have done any of those things. But God gave a long time ago, or at least as the book was being written, it's 2008, God's final witness to this world. And it is throughout the entirety as a whole of 2008. And it is God's final witness on this earth. Before everything that God said about man 6,000 years, God begins to address. And so because of certain things that I will not go into right now as far as timing, but again, it's not rocket science, I'll just say the 1,335 days has not begun yet. The sealing has not taken place yet. The 1,260 days has not begun yet. The job of the two witnesses has not begun yet. Now that can be quite a shocker to you, because it's quite a shocker to me. But as you go forward and as you go on, you'll become excited and inspired. Say, how can that be? Didn't you say? Yes, I did. With what I understood. And God knows my mind. He knows what I would do. He knows fully. So just as much as Mr. Armstrong didn't know what day Pentecost was, or just as much as Mr. Armstrong didn't know that Yahweh was not Jesus Christ, did that diminish from what God did to him? Did that not make him God's end time Elijah? Did that not make him God's apostle? Not by any measure. But see, people don't understand that. There are certain things out there that people will not grasp, cannot see, cannot understand. There are things Satan, and this has a lot to do with Satan. There are things that Satan just can't get about how God works with his people. Satan doesn't understand repentance. Satan doesn't grasp how someone could keep Pentecost for several decades on the wrong day and be God's people. And God be so pleased with his people. Satan doesn't grasp that. Satan can't grasp. Oh, they don't understand. They don't understand. They think that Yahweh was Jesus Christ. His attitude, his mockery before God, his perverted mind. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand things on a spiritual plane that God does with his people. And neither do mockers or others who are out there. And they can't, because they don't have the right mind. And they don't have the Spirit of God that gives that understanding. Only God gives that understanding of how we are able to repent of sin and still be right with God, of what it means that our sins come under the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we could be in such a covenant with God. They don't get it and can't understand it. The world has a perverted idea about grace. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand how it truly works. So again, not to be discussed amongst yourselves, because you won't understand the whole story until September the 30th. Okay? Not wise to do. If you don't understand, ask God for help to understand what you need to go through this period of time, because you will learn through it. If you have placed your hope and your ideas on everything that was given to this point in time, that's why people left Mr. Armstrong. That's why people still hate him with such passion. You're more concerned in some cases about what others are going to have to say about you than you are what God feels and believes about you. Isn't that amazing sometimes out here what can take place? We're more concerned about eating a little crow that somehow we have to go and face someone and say, oh, that's changed. Just what you said would happen. Oh, it'll come to a certain point in time and they're going to change it. And something I said I would never do. I said I would never do it. Well, I have to eat that and repent of that, because that was wrong. Because if God shows you something different, that you didn't see and didn't understand, and he gives you more or gives you truth of something you didn't comprehend, and it affects all your thinking, you do have to repent of that one. Because God is first and you must follow God. You think you're suffering? Any of you out there? By having to go back or say something to someone else and take the mockery of certain individuals around you? Suck it up. You haven't experienced anything. Woe is me. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Jesus Christ could have done that. Oh, woe is me. Different prophets, different ministers of God, Stephen, they didn't think that way. But sometimes we get in that mood, in that mindset. Woe is me. Why would God do this to me now? Why has God allowed this to happen? I'll tell you what, those are attitudes to repent of quickly. And some of you will leave. Some of you who are new will leave. I already know that. Because you came for the wrong reasons. If it isn't because of the truth, you're not grounded. You came for the wrong reasons. And God is just letting you know right up front. So you have to examine yourself. That's why I understand and know deeply so that as a whole, the body, the church, is going to sail through this with flying colors just like we did 2005. You know, that was a little apprehensive for me because I realized that's the biggest change in God's church that I've ever seen or ever been a part of. It's far bigger than Pentecost. That Jesus Christ only had a beginning when he was born of his mother Mary. That was a pretty big change from the period of Philadelphia into this particular time now. And yet, what happened? We read scriptures now, we think, how could I have not seen that? It's so clear. We can read through things now, and you've had enough time. In the beginning, it wasn't as easy. But you've taken a little bit of time now, a few months up the road, a couple of years now up the road, and what takes place? It's so clear. We read through things in the New Testament, and we wonder, it jumps out at you. Why couldn't have we seen this before? And that's the way it always is. I think back even about the thing about Pentecost. Sometimes I think, to think those words could have ever been misconstrued in any fashion or form to say Monday? But I did. Because I came in 69 and I was deeply convicted. We were to keep Pentecost on Monday. And when Mr. Armstrong gave sermons about Pentecost on that day, they were strong. They were strong. And things that I have said concerning the only timing that things could be because it is 2008 lead you to only one conclusion. Just I concluded wrong with what I was given. So people want to say you're a false prophet. I don't care. I could care less. God gives us what he gives us in his time. And as you go through this, you'll become more excited. So I'm excited that we were able to do what we did in December, in January. I think of an email I'm going to read here in a minute, but we poured a ton of money into this. And a lot of people sacrificed in a very big way because they saw themselves as a part of Gideon's army on a spiritual plane. And that's exactly what you were supposed to have done. Because we were supposed to do exactly what we did. God knows us. He knows how we were, what we'll do. And that we'll throw ourselves into it. With everything we have. See, if what I give to you on September the 30th, if I had known that back in December and November, I wouldn't have acted in the same way. I wouldn't have given some of the same sermons. I wouldn't have had the same sense of urgency. I definitely wouldn't have made decisions about pouring several hundred thousands of dollars into Google advertising, which is what we've done. And to be as small as we are and to have had the capacity to do that is astounding. Amazing. anyway. Initially, it's a bit of a shock. Give yourself a week like I've had, and you don't feel like I do in a week from now. I'm excited. I'm inspired. And if you don't have some excitement and inspiration from God, then you need to look deeply inside yourself and say, where have I started to let down spiritually? Okay. Again, toward the end of this, I'll read the second paragraph, I think, because I want to get a point across here. Because of what God has been giving me over the past few days, I now know that I am to resume the trips that Laura and I make to scattered areas. And such trips will be planned all the way up to mid-December. All of you need to begin adjusting your thinking as you plan ahead. You need to expand your planning by several months, which will be explained in future sermons. This end time is not easy to address in our lives, and it can be very difficult to make adjustments according to what God gives to us or may even withhold from us. You know, if God doesn't give us everything, Laura and I were talking about that on the way over here. Does it diminish, I think it's chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, does it diminish from the book that Mr. Armstrong wrote, powerful, so profound, of being able to bring through the 50-plus years that God worked with him by the time he wrote that book, and for it to be sent out here, and yet chapter 2 very much being about Jesus Christ and Yahweh, and the God of the Old Testament? Does it diminish from the truth that was seen in those things? And people today that go back and read that, we encourage people to read it. We tell people on the website, read the two books, go back and read Mystery of the Ages. And when they understand that he wasn't given that, that doesn't diminish from him as an apostle. It doesn't diminish from what's written in the book. We just understand that he wasn't given that portion. And that's the way it is with right now, what's taking place. And we're going through some things in a short time that Philadelphia went through in decades. And that's astounding. And it's inspiring as well when you begin to understand more what God is blessing us to live through, to see. I'll come back to this in a moment because I don't want to forget this. I think of how I'm excited for the elders out here. I think of the time we came together here in Cincinnati when we brought most in for the opportunity of being trained. Now, this website for them, or the EMC as it's called, the Elders Management Console, it's up and running. And you guys need to be checking your email on a regular basis right now, because at some point you're going to be receiving letters out here that we're starting the process now where you're answering them. Now, if this had been thrown on you April 17th, you would be able to do some things, but you are not ready. You haven't been trained yet. You haven't, you know, training is not just sitting down in a class and receiving instruction. Much that's on that elders console has now been streamlined and made far more effective as a tool in helping others who are brought along, that God works with and brings along. And so the learning, the understanding candidly comes from experience. I think of Ambassador, when people would be given classes on marriage and children, and then they go out and not even be married yet and give a marriage sermon. And especially people who had children, they might go out and give a sermon on how to rear children. And some of the fundamentals are true, but you realize if you've had children, this isn't all reality. I think of one individual at Feast of Tabernacles one time up in Niagara Falls. He had two most passive children, easy to work with. And his understanding was based on that. And so the sermon he gave on child rearing, you realize there's something you're missing here in your understanding. Some of the basics are true and right here, but you haven't had some of our children. Not everybody has the same genes. Not everyone has the same makeup. And some have different personalities. One might be passive. One might be very aggressive, an A-type. If you have a different type, you're going to have some different situations in life when you're working with them as they grow up. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. And so it is with you elders. You're going to learn and learn how to better deal with situations as you begin to have the time now to apply some of the material that's on that site, to work with people, to have the experience of how to bring them along. To just be thrust into that, there would have been, I don't want to tell you what there would have been. There would have been problems. There would have been difficulties. People would have been hurt because we don't know yet until we learn. You learn through experience. And so you're going to have the opportunity now and timing of learning through more experience. So we're going to be far more prepared to do a far better job to serve those that God brings along as time goes forward here. And we have some of the time now to do it. So everything has worked together for the good. It truly has. And it is becoming more inspiring when you grasp and understand. But anyway, let me read this last paragraph again. This end time is not easy to address in our lives, and it can be very difficult to make adjustments according to what God gives to us or may even withhold from us until His timing and purpose. This is often done for our good, our training, and our growth. The job isn't over with. Just the fact that it's not even over with concerning some who are still being worked with, being drawn, who may be not even brought to us yet, who can still become a part of the 144,000. Awesome. Exciting. And for us to have more time, and those who are new to have more time, for God to continue to work with you, to better prepare you for what's ahead, don't sell it short. So again here, God knows what we need and when we need it. It is our choice to follow. So as always, we follow God. That's the bottom line. It says it all. It truly does. So with that, I thought I'd read some letters here and some different things that have come in, because I'll just do it as we come to it, just to teach some more things as we go through this, some principles and truths and so forth. Debating here what I can give and what I shouldn't give. Here's a letter. It says, I just read the post. This was sent to Wayne Matthews. I just picked it off today. I just went through right quick. I can pick off some things here because I wasn't planning on doing this. I happened to print off, I think, about three of these to let Laura read. The rest of them I just grabbed quickly before we left. But here is one that was sent to Mr. Matthew down in Australia. It says, so I gather somebody from down under, or someone who doesn't yet know that he's in Australia. You know, sometimes people get responses back and they don't know where people are that they're receiving emails back from. But anyway, that doesn't really matter as they brought along the process here. But it's kind of a shock when you realize this is halfway around the world, because with the internet you can do this today. Anyway, he says, I just read the post on Ronald Wineland's personal website. I'm very disappointed in one way, because for so long I believed things were going to happen soon. Well, we all did. So now we have to wait until December. That's right. If nothing happens in December, will Ronald Wineland declare he's a false prophet? Well, let's just wait till December. You know, I got pulled into things with different ones, on some of the radio things, and it all worked out for a purpose. But again, it seems like some people are more excited about getting to that point there. Are you a false prophet? Will you declare it? Well, I'll leave that to God. God makes it clear who is false and who is true. Let it do in His way and His time. You don't have long to wait. Anyway, going on, it's not that I do not believe Him. It's just that maybe he has made an error in the timing. Yeah, we could put it that way. Just say December comes and goes and nothing has happened there either. Then what's going to happen? Well, let's wait till December. I'm going to suffer a lot of ridicule and mocking now. Oh, no kidding. No, yes, you are. Who cares? Well, maybe you do care, and maybe it does smart, but it shouldn't, and it should help us to be more focused on a conviction we have and a willingness to stand strong. a willingness to stand up strong for what you believe and do what you do because of your convictions. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you, or if you have understanding between you and God and with others in the fellowship, that's what counts. Anyway, I'm going to suffer a lot of ridicule and mocking now. That shouldn't be a person's primary concern. If that was my primary concern, I would never have done my first radio interview, nor the ones that followed, nor all the garbage that sometimes comes in there. I would have quit a long time ago. This isn't about quitting. It's about forging forward and doing what you're convicted of doing before God because it's right. And because you believe the truths that God has given to you. Goes on, I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm sure Ronald and yourself will have it much worse than me. This is true. But that doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned about it. Anyway, he says, what advice can you give me? Go back to the 49 truths. Go back and read the books if you have to. Continue to listen to sermons. Pray more. Seek to draw closer to God. Seek to be stirred up by God's Spirit. Ask God for help, not to let down in any fashion or form spiritually, but to be stirred up, to have that sense of urgency, and to be thankful to God that you have a little more time now to apply His way of life in your life before you're thrust into this mess that we're getting ready to enter into. To help God to help you mentally be better prepared, spiritually to be better prepared for what you're getting ready to go into. Because just as the elders were not ready to handle an onslaught, which is coming, neither have we been fully ready. And we will never be fully ready. But I'll guarantee you, in the time we have remaining, we're going to be a lot more prepared than what we were before. Okay, let's see another one here. The one says, what can I say? I admire the pastor for the truthful and upfront statement. He had courage. No, you do what is right. And all of us must, in one respect, like God said, we need to be courageous in the truth that God has given to us. We need to be strong and of good courage. Yes, we do. God is first. And you can't, some of these things are good for your growth spiritually. You can't be swayed by what others think of you and say about you. You know, I've come to a point, my wife has come to a point in a deeper way, I think, than ever before, where we realize by things that are being said out here, we're encouraged by it. We're encouraged. Now, this might sound a little funny to you. We're encouraged by all the mocking that's taking place. I'm encouraged that you can plug in my name and see page after page of garbage. I mean, people so stirred up. Some of you and some of your relatives and some of the people you have contact with, they are so immensely stirred up right now. Why us? We are so puny and we are so small. And I don't care what group it is out here. They're stirred up because of us. Why us? Why not some of the others? Give them a little of that. You know, it reminds me of Fiddler on the Roof. I think his name was Rectavy or something like that. The big guy, this, you know, great voice. And in Russia, some of you don't know Fiddler on the Roof. He's in Russia, and their oppression, their Jews are being oppressed there in Russia. And when he talks to God and he has his prayers to God, it's like he's outside and he uses all these gestures. His hands are up in the air and he's praying. He's talking to God. And one day he made the comment. He said, you know, in essence, paraphrasing some of this, we are your special people, speaking of the Jews. We know you're your special people. But could for just one day, somebody else could be your special people? You know, and, you know, it says a lot sometimes because of what we go through. But, you know, there is a spirit world out there that is immensely stirred up. And I don't take that as a negative thing. I know who we are. And so do they. That's why as we go through this and come to September the 30th, this is also very much about a spirit world.
and battles that are ongoing. It's powerful, brother. It truly is. This is not a small thing, the end of Satan's rule. This is not a small thing, the end of a demonic reign on this earth for 6,000 years. It's not a small thing. See, because it's not just the end of 6,000 years, God allotted to man. It's the end of the reign of those spirit beings that have been around for millions and millions of years. This is not a small thing with God. And it affects our lives, as we're going to learn more and more. It's affected the life of mankind for 6,000 years. We are entering some momentous times because of the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom, finally God's government on this earth.
So he goes on to say, I now have to face my wife, her own families, pastors, and friends with, I told you so. So I think this must be from a PM, someone who's still coming along, but having contact with us. He says, I'm sure I have not heard the last of this from them. True. But none of that matters, does it? He goes on to say, I have to eat crow, as I said before, if the pastor was wrong. I have to face the music, as I am sure the pastor will face his mockers. There'll be some more on the websites. There's going to be a lot more blogging goes on. I don't care. I'm not going to go in there and worry about what they say or how they have to say it. There are games out there that people have set up for us that they play these little games, literal games, about something they saw one the other day about if you get to take a drink or maybe two drinks, depending on how many times I say Yahweh or Elohim or different things like that. You know, the craziest things that people do. Someone has some game up. I heard this past week that this has to do with the urinal and... the journal. Some of you new don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's a publication that comes out. The pet name I give to it. And somebody... Was it on there, Laura? That they have some kind of game that people can play on Friday nights. But they're not going to talk about any bad things. And they can't use Mr. Armstrong's name. And they can't use the name of Ronald Wineland. As they play these games. Anyway, you think, why? Who am I? Look how small we are. Of all the thousands who are out there, look at some of the organizations, how much larger they are than we are. Dumbfounding what God has blessed us to do, and primarily because of our choice, because of the timing, of the urgency of the time we felt to run down the hill together, and of the sacrifice of God's people. So we could do what we have done the last few months. Because it is a final witness during 2008. Very powerful, brother. He goes on to say, I can only hope I have the strength and courage that God has given the pastor. No doubt it will be painful emotionally. It really isn't. Maybe I had a day and a half of being pained. Before I started seeing some more things fitting into place, maybe a couple days as I first started seeing this. You have the benefit of getting a lot more, a lot quicker here in one respect. You think, I don't have it. Anyway, going on, I'm still going to hold fast to what is true. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful what he says. He's going to come through this. Keeps that up because that's the focus. It's what is true. It's the truth you hold on to. And it's the truth that makes you strong. If you see and understand the 49 truths, and by the time you get to the 50th, that'll even make you stronger, you know, in God's way of life. In what you know, in the confidence, that's what gives you courage. That's what gives boldness. That's what strengthens your faith. When God says to do a certain thing and do it a certain way, it's because of what you believe you know is true. That's why you've been told over and over and over again why God has reminded us, keep going back to those truths and filling your mind with it, because there is your strength. It truly is. That's what sets you apart. And I'll tell you what, the truth that is coming, does that set you apart from everyone in a far greater way than what 2005 did. So again, he says, I am going to hold fast to what is true and continue to repent, and I am in agreement with all that has been written and spoken from the Church of God, PKG, and the pastor. My eyes have been opened for the first time. Very powerful, because he sees what is true. So he's basing his decisions on what he sees is true. So, good insight, because he's responding to God's Spirit and God's lead in his life. I had to throw this one in. I saw this just before I left the house. This individual writes, oh my, then he has an expletive, Ron is right. All the green grass is turning brown, especially in his sheep pasture. His lowly sheep are leaving the pasture. In his dreams, anyway, that's his desire, you know. And he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand God's church. He doesn't understand what we went through in 2005, what God's church has been through over and over and over again. That's why I say we follow God. It's not an individual. It's not my pastor, you know. If he just had ability to grasp that little truth, that little tidbit. He says, your new post, The New Truth, is a masterpiece of deceptive writing. You guys really deserve an A++++ for that one. I truly commend you on being such great con men, as for that alone is a masterpiece. He's referring to the post, I guess. You guys should get into politics. He goes on to say, for one, I'm happy because my girlfriend, one of your former sheep, is finally seeing the light on your church. Again, it's not my church. And seeing that the heathen, me in parentheses, was right about you being full of, you can figure that one out, the entire time. Just because deception is not one of the Ten Commandments, all of you are still going to pay for sins since these bogus books came out, especially the red one. It seems that people really follow your sermons, which in themselves seem to be right on the money from a preaching standpoint. He says, I suffered through all of them through my girlfriend. I think if you laid off all the prophetic bull, some more there, and doomsday scenarios, your church would have been 1,000 times the size it is now. No, because people don't want the truth about the Sabbath. Just that one alone is enough to keep it from growing. Now, people don't want God's truth. They don't come in because of the truth. Oh, amazing. Only those that God calls. Please understand what I'm saying here. People don't receive, don't accept God's truth. Otherwise, it would be 1,000 times larger. Anyway, he says, along with 1,000 times more tithes. And as a businessman, like yourself, that's your fatal error. Take care. Say hi to God for me. It's such minds, such thinking, and I understand a part of where they're coming from, but some people go quite too far in some things, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And what I did say on the first day all this began about mockers, it's true, and it's going to happen exactly as I said over a long period of time. Him included. And if I were his girlfriend, I would run as quick as I could from him. Right? You know, some of us place ourselves or sometimes find ourselves in environments that are not spiritually healthy for us. Sometimes we have to work in the best situations we can, but there are some situations you don't have to be in life, and you can choose to not be in them. Because sometimes they'll drag you down to your end unless you can stand firm and stand strong and call a spade before anyone who would talk to you, who would say anything to you. If you can't hold your own ground before anyone out there, anyone, I don't care who they are, even in your own family, I don't care if it's a mate, I don't care if it's a child, you're one of your children, or your parent, if they come at you, if you can't stand firm in what you believe is true, for the truth, for what you know and what you're convicted of, that's why, even on the website, people sometimes want to go into different tangents about things. You know what we always do? What you elders should always do? Bring them back to the basics. Because if they're not acting upon the most basic truths concerning the Sabbath or the holy days and the truths of God, what are you doing communicating with them? You can't help them.
If they don't want your help, you can't help them. And there are too many out here who want help. And too many more who are coming are going to want help, and you need to be trained and prepared for that. But the same thing is true with all of us. You know, you can't give to someone something they can't receive because it comes from God. If they're not desirous to receive it from God, you can't give this to them. Now, you can encourage people to read the book. You can encourage people to do certain things on their own, but that's as far as you can go. You can't go any farther, because it's up to them whether or not they respond to God. God does the calling, and it'll become obvious in time whether or not that's something that's taking place, or whether it's something for their future. You know, they may read something because they love you or because they're a friend of yours or whatever, but it may not be for right now. It may be for at some point here in 2009 or 2010 or whenever for them. But if they will out of friendship read something and it's in their mind, that can always be brought back. How many people out here do we run into on a continuing basis that have heard truth in the past, have heard things in the telecast or the broadcast, Mr. Armstrong, or read a Plain Truth magazine, or had some exposure in the past? You know, amazing how many there are out here.
Going on another letter here. Says, I want to tell you both, I am behind you 100% because I know who you both are, God's true servants and His two end time prophets. And I am so happy to hear that God has brought to your mind that we have more time here in this first period of this first trumpet. Well, again, I appreciate that. But now after today's sermon, we realize that first trumpet hasn't sounded yet. Okay? The 1335 days has not yet begun. And I can't give you more right now. But again, it's not rocket science to begin figuring out a few things here. But please, just hold it in. Just keep it to yourself. Just pray to God for the ability to receive what He gives to you as He gives it to you. Some are going to receive different things here at different points in time. But again, it's part of a process we go through. God will give it all to us in His timing. It says, I feel I need more time to get much closer to God so my mind can be able to handle all that God wants me to go through in this great tribulation period. Well, that's true. You know, we, just like for the elders, I'm so thankful you have more time because you weren't ready. Neither are you now. I know what it's like to go through the process. I've gone through it over a long period of time to serve and help people, you know, as an elder or as a minister. And so, that's something you can only learn through a process you have to go through. And you're going to go through it in a pressure cooker. See, because some of you, on occasion, I'm sending emails to. And most of the time, I don't do it unless you've done something wrong. That gets my attention. Now, you know, I'm having a little bit of fun with you. Please understand that it's when those things are addressed, they're only for our own good. So we can respond and change and make the adjustments we have, because that's all I have time for. That's all we have time for, is to quickly try to respond to the changing conditions around us, and especially even some of the elders. You know, there's some situations in life where you have to go through certain things to even learn what it's like to be a shepherd and not a sheriff. What it's like sometimes to... You can't be a friend with everyone in the sense of glossing over things that you should address. There's a balance in all this. Sometimes there's a time when someone does something wrong, maybe not perfect in their life. There are times you don't have to address it. You don't have to go out and address everything that human beings do that's wrong. You have to, if it's a major thing in the church, it will have an impact upon people in a major way. But if it's something just a part of growth you have to go through and learn, you know, kind of like 2T. I don't make that an issue with anybody. Some of you don't even know what that means, because you're not there yet. You know what? I don't make an issue of clean and unclean meats. Even before a person is baptized, I don't ask the question, do you now know the truth about clean and unclean meats? No, I don't address it.
just as much as Mr. Armstrong would even give sermons about it in his beginning, when the church that was there at the time that he was coming through as a part of a process here wanted him to preach about it. He wouldn't preach about it because that wasn't what the gospel was all about. It's not about clean and unclean meats. You know what happens when someone who is being led by God's Spirit has their mind open up to the truth and they come to that one? They just change. Ah, oh, clean and unclean meats. I'm not supposed to eat pork. Oinkers. Oh, wow. Didn't know that. Not supposed to eat shrimp and lobster. Ooh, I didn't know about that. Gonna have to change some of my diet. It's not a big thing. They just change. 2T is similar. You don't have to go around policing to make sure that it's being done. Or they're doing it. Through time, the longer an individual is in, some things do begin to be addressed in the environs of the church, in their time and in their balance and in their way as God leads. And so sometimes it can be a difficult thing waiting for God to know. You have to, that's why I talk about, I don't care what kind of, it doesn't matter who you are, who we are, anytime we ever get into conversation about the truth. And we talk about, especially with someone that's new, you know what? To give the best answer, the best help to someone, ask, you know the answer clearly, but to state it in the best way for them, ask God for help, just silently. Say, Father, I want to give them what they need at this time, not what I think they should have. Because you might be dishing out certain things to them that you might put in too many scoops. They don't need all that, you know. Pull back a little bit. Ask God for what to give and how much to give. And I know we understand that. So, again here, and then there's a time that by a person's personality, they would never, because they're both sides of all this, there's a time that some people, because of their nature, have to pull back a little bit and let things go. You don't have to address everything. See, we had to learn that in the ministry in the church because there was this policing mentality where it was like everything has to be addressed, where people's lives had to be regulated. No, they don't. Let God's Spirit work and draw and help people to change and be inspired and changed by what we receive. If there's a need because it hurts someone or it's hurting them so much or hurting others, then by all means, especially if there's been a long period of time, then there are certain times that things have to be addressed. Some people's personality, they don't want to address anything. There's some people's personalities out here, you don't want to have to, I don't want to tell somebody, I don't want to give any kind of correction to anybody. Now, some of us, we may tend to give or want to give correction quickly because that's our personality. Some of us would never want to touch it. We'd rather be their friend. Or rather than be our friend, and we don't want to have to tell them that. So that's it. That's true in the church. It's true with elders. But when you're an elder, you don't have that luxury. You've got to do what it's right because it's right. You may have to do something and say something to someone else that may be unpleasant, but it's for their spiritual good. And there are times to back away because it's for their spiritual good. How can you have that kind of balance? Only God can give it to you. And sometimes it's learned in different ways through some bad experiences. But with that bad experience comes hurt that's caused to someone else too. By letting them continue on in something that leads them out of the body because it was never addressed. Or sometimes by addressing it too quickly and then that hurts and can cause damage and harm that has to be taken care of later. So thank God that we even have more time with everyone that was ordained quickly here, because there's a process you're going to go through here where you're going to have the opportunity to learn some things in a way that's going to happen much faster with you that has taken years for some to learn. It's just like new people coming along today. What an incredible thing that you can read two books, that you can go and listen to sermons, and all of a sudden your mind has opened up to so much knowledge so quickly. But you don't have the experience yet. But the knowledge is there. And it happens so quickly. And there are things we're going through right now, and candidly things that I'm going through, and things that I've gone through in the last 3 years, that I've learned about things that Mr. Armstrong had to go through over a few decades. But I've had to learn the same lessons, have had some of the exact same experiences, because there's a molding and fashioning that God is doing with a cranked up
way, if you will, as far as speed and time is concerned, because of where we are and because of what we have out here in technology and because of the expediency of things that are taking place. So again, I read this particular part of the letter because wanting to make it clear that we are not in the first trumpet any longer. That'll come out later on. It is God's final witness 2008. And that's what everything has been based upon. 2008. No, it's going to be the rest of this, but anyway, go on to another one here. I hope I'm not bothering you, but I feel compelled to write and thank you for the posting yesterday. Nobody's ever bothering me when you send an email. If you send several a week, you're bothering me. you're not bothering me. Please understand, there's just so many people out here that I couldn't handle it. That's why we have different ones handling the email as it is already, and I don't, you know, so anyway. It says, I know it must have been difficult for you, but I, for one, am so glad you did. I have been praying for a long time that God would postpone the trumpets as long as he possibly could. Please understand, the trumpets haven't been postponed. Okay? And I understand the sentiment here and the desire that we be not have to, and that's anyone's desire. Once things begin to happen, we want to see it go as far as we can before the suffering comes. That may not happen now. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what God does, because God hasn't shown those things. But it's still coming. It's just that we have a little bit more time to prepare in some of this and grow an understanding, and as I've mentioned. But anyway, it says, I found myself dreading July 16th, the closer it got. I have been concerned for myself, but I'm in no hurry to see the suffering. I've not been concerned about myself, but I'm in no hurry to see suffering that will result from when the trumpets do sound. And the time, if the time has been delayed, again, the timing hasn't been delayed, but the revelation of it has been, okay? It's affecting us. It's obviously have a definite effect upon us. But as you receive the sermon, you'll be excited. And you'll be excited because of what we've done in the last few months, because of what we believed. And God allowed us, blessed us to have, frankly, a sense of urgency that's been so important that we did have. And you'll understand more later on. It'll come together more for you. Going on, it says, I don't believe the time has changed, but what a blessing. Again, true, it hasn't changed in the sense of what God is doing. But it wasn't what we thought. It wasn't what I thought, obviously. But what a blessing if God is giving us the time to become stronger, just as he did with Israel before they left their promised land. We, our children, our grandchildren, can only benefit from the extra time that God has given to us. And, you know, that's the way we should look at time, for what we have right now. I look forward to future sermons to explain in more detail about what we are experiencing and why it must be the way it is. I'll continue to pray for you and Laura. I'm so thankful that God is revealing the reasons we have been going through so much turmoil for so long. Well, again, there's a lot to fill in here, but we will get there. One last one here, I guess I have time for. I wanted to say that I really feel for you with the changes that you must share. Life is full of challenges, changes, and testing for us. You know, after a while, you just do what is right, what you have to do. It doesn't matter what comes along. It doesn't mean it's always fun, but you just do what is right, and God will give you the strength, the encouragement, the boldness to go with it, because that's what it's all about. Going on, some will not like these changes, but I, for one, am very excited. Things have been changing for me a little this past 2 weeks, and I thought that it was just that I am involved in a very tight, short-term project, and that I just didn't have time for some other things. Now I realize that the timing was perfect because I was not meant to continue the way I thought I ought to go. I am, you know, and sometimes that's a dilemma. There have been, I feel the same thing. There are certain things that have happened, and sometimes some things haven't fit. It's like I've said in times past. There was a period of time that I mentioned in times past where there's a 6 month to a year that God, that just hasn't been clear, and it's actually turning out to be kind of in the middle of all that, about certain things for the end time. And
Finally, when it's God's time, He gives it. But all for a purpose and all for a reason. Brethren, God knows us inside and out, knows what we'll do. And those who follow Him faithfully, He knows what we will do with what we're given.
Goes on to say, I am so pleased that you have shared this information at this time to confirm to me that all is going as it should. I am really hyped since reading the site last night and looking forward to more time to prepare spiritually and otherwise. And that's the way we should look at it. Use the time wisely. Last Sabbath was the first time in 10 weeks that I spent at home, and I look forward to being with brethren again next Sabbath. Again, the rest was a right time for me. Talks about this area. Most of this particular area group is planning gathering a certain location or a certain time. I wish you and Laura safe travels and many blessings along the way. There is so much in this latest posting. I just cannot say how excited I am. Anyway. And that's the way it should be for us, but this is someone who's very new. So, you know, whether we've been new, whether we're brand new, people are just now coming along or farther, been here for years and years and years, we have to go through a process, and it is a process that will have a continuing effect upon our lives. And one of those is the Feast of Tabernacles. We are not hosting a Feast of Tabernacles. Nothing changed. There are reasons why we've done exactly what we've done. There are reasons why God had us focus as we have upon the time period we're in, of 2008. Nothing has changed in that. There are reasons why we have used festival tithe to serve others in this period of time for what's coming later. You know, to be such a small group, to have such an impact, because we're able to, just from that alone, say, multiply what we had been doing up to the feast of last year even, not even counting the new ones that came along and people who have joined being a part of that. But think how much more we were able to accomplish through the advertising what God gave. At least 75% above and beyond just from that, if you understand what I'm saying financially, let alone the sacrifices and the extra that people have done. We have done a lot in a short time, and we have now more time to continue to do more. And we're going to continue to do it because God has a purpose in this and something we're all sharing in a very powerful way that, as we go through other sermons, will become clear to you. Something that should be exciting and inspiring that we wouldn't have been able to be a part of nor accomplish if it hadn't been this way. So God's purpose for us is that we not have a Feast of Tabernacles for 2008, even though now we know that we have that time. So I have mentioned in times past that perhaps because of some areas not knowing what would happen at that time, what we saw, what we believed, because of the timing that we focused upon, that there'd be some areas that may not be able to do the feast in the same way or do it in the same manner, but we are going to be able to have that ability in the sense of in our own areas, just like you did Passover weekend, just like you did Pentecost weekend. And that's exactly how we're addressing the Feast of Tabernacles. There is going to be a great distinction more and more made in your life this year than in the life of the rest of the scattered church. It already has. Sorry. The very fact that you knew last year, Feast of Tabernacles, that you weren't going to have a hosted feast site that you would be attending. Sorry. Just like one individual believed that, oh, well, I believe everything's going to be okay for the Feast of Tabernacles, so I'm going to a Feast of Tabernacles site. Well, you do, and it means another body, doesn't it? See, so either we believe this is a church of God and God is working here or not, you know, and those are choices people have to make as to whether or not we follow what God gives, where God chooses to place His name. Say. And this year, it's being done similarly to what we've done with Passover and what we've done with Pentecost. And so if some are able to come together, that's why I mentioned today here, I just want to read I'll read the announcement and then I'll make some comments about it. Concerning the posting on the RonaldWineland.com site, I do want to make an announcement concerning 2T, the festival tithe. From this point forward, there is no need to continue to do that as the percentage of that we've been giving, because up to this point in time, I've made certain things about certain percentages, so you have to judge where you are and what you have and what you're doing. There's still, if you've been doing it and saving that portion back, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned 25% at one time to be used for the holy days.
if we've been doing that, then this is a good period to just cut it off at this point. Unless you have excess or whatever, then you have to judge those things. But as a whole, not to send that in so that you can use this for the fall here. But it's not a Feast of Tabernacles. It's not some site or anything like that. It's strictly like the Passover and the Pentecost weekend, which I'll explain as we go along here. We are not hosting, or we are hosting no Feast of Tabernacles. This has not changed one bit. Everyone will keep the feast in their own areas. There was a question in the past as to whether everyone would be able to do this or not, but now it is clear that everyone can in their own areas, as with the Passover and Pentecost weekend. The time for people being able to come together in their own areas will be at the end of the feast. Okay, that's when you're going to do it. In other words, we set up times in different regions where people could come together for Passover this year. We stayed at different locations. Unless you have a regular meeting place like Cincinnati, we already know where it is. See? So those of you here, you already know where it is because you meet on a weekly basis. Some areas that meet on a weekly basis, they have that ability. But in a lot of areas, because people are so scattered, it has to be a special meeting, and that has to be announced as to where it is. And so that's exactly what we're going to do for the end portion of the feast. And I'll make more announcements as we get closer on this. But as a whole, for the beginning of the feast, you're going to do exactly like you do on any Sabbath day. If you have a congregation that you attend, you can go there on that, what is that, Tuesday this year. The first day of the feast, the high day, is a commanded assembly. Okay? So you do the same thing as you would do on a weekly Sabbath on that Tuesday. It's not an option. You don't work on that day, obviously. It's a day that you listen to the sermon. It's a day that's a Sabbath to you. And so you just won't be doing it at any special location. Except like in Cincinnati, you'd be doing it here. That's not when we're going to come together in different areas. We're going to come together toward the end. And so that's what I'm explaining here in this particular announcement. Again, the time for people being able to get together in their own areas will be at the end of the feast. Some who can afford it can keep the weekly Sabbath of the 18th. In other words, that'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 on the fifth day of the feast, in other words, will be the weekly Sabbath, the 18th of October. Will be a period of time that some can come together if they want to in various areas. We're going to make it an option. I'll address this more thoroughly later on, depending on the region that people are in. But there's a possibility then of being together on the 18th, the 19th, which is Sunday. And if you can't afford both days, then come in on Sunday and be there for Sunday and the seventh day, which is on the 20th, on a Monday, and the last great day is on the 21st. So you have, in some areas, 2 days to be together, maybe three, four at the most. Depends on your finances and what you have by that point in time. If you can't do it in your home or do it in your own area, just like for here in Cincinnati. We're going to have Sabbath services here no matter what, just like they do in Dallas, just like in Georgia, some other places that, you know, wherever people meet together on the Sabbath, you'll still meet together on the Sabbath. It's just in some scattered areas we're going to open it up where people can come into their area close by. It's not the same kind of expense as having to travel to wherever, Nashville or Lexington or Colorado Springs or Florida like we've done in times past. It's not that kind of a feast this year, brethren. Okay? Not at all. It's in our own regions, in our own areas, very specifically so, and the ability to get together, very much like Pentecost, we're able to do it maybe an extra day, maybe two at the most. I'll address this more later on, and we'll have the elders in those areas work with those things and the people in their areas. So again, just a rough announcement here today just to make comment about that. So again, many may have to listen each day from their own homes as you do on the weekly Sabbath, and you're going to have to do that because we're not meeting during the rest of the week, but we are having sermons. I'll be in Australia and New Zealand during that period of time. That's where I'm going to be speaking from. So that because we're ahead of you, those sermons will be posted and you'll be able to listen in on the sermons. Thought I'd also mention here some planning. We're also going to be in Europe toward the end of August, perhaps into September. Don't know the exact timing here yet, but we're going to be able to go back to those areas one more time for sure. And we've chosen, it's very clear concerning Australia and New Zealand for the feast because that works out better for everyone in the sense of posting those ahead of time because it's not a normal meeting situation. We'll be doing something different in those areas there. But anyway, I thought I'd also mention for some out there, some of the planning here, because I mentioned Virginia next week. But in a couple of weeks or so, I'll be announcing here too, but probably in a couple more weeks after that, we're going to be in Minnesota, Minneapolis. There are a smear of people in that area there all of a sudden. So we're going to be up in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. Also, I want to let San Jose area know that we're going to be in San Jose in a few weeks. So we'll give you the time and location later on, but just so the people can understand, we are planning ahead and going full blast forward all the way up to mid-December. Clearly so. God's made it real clear that I have that kind of time, we have that kind of time to visit in different areas and do some of the things we're doing. I wish I could tell you more right now, but it's expedient we wait till trumpets, okay? And you'll get a little portion here and there. But brethren, this is all, it is exciting, it is inspiring, and God works with us. Sometimes when you have to make certain adjustments in your life, you have to address certain things. I've had to address things that I'll probably share with you later in different sermons. But again, it's not always an easy process when you first have to address it, but it forces you to ask questions that lead you to greater understanding. And that's what's exciting. I think of what we've gone through. I think of what we began to go through when God began to give us understanding about what was happening to the church and why. I think about Matthew 24. I remember being in that basement over there when we went through Matthew 24. I remember going through Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins, and each time that God was giving something and adding to the whole picture, making it clearer. And what's coming, brethren, it finalizes it all. It is a jubilee truth. It truly is. It is profound. It is inspiring. It is exciting. When God shows you the why, what He is doing, and we continue to follow, it's inspiring. It's exciting. With that, we'll conclude today's sermon that had no title.